Venga.
Good morning, Rabbi. So I continue our discussion on Pesach Sheni, which falls this week on Friday, Yud Dalet Iyar. And we said that it's a sort of a mixture. It is a Yontov, it isn't a Yontov. Some people say Tachnun, some people don't say Tachnun. Some people say Tachnun in the morning, don't say it in the afternoon, because that was Man Shechitas Kohen Pesach, that's the Minhag Monks. And there are other things which are sort of, obviously it's a weekday, there's no Issa Malacha, nothing like that. And the question obviously is, because is it really a public celebration? Is it the Yontov of Klal Yisrael, or is it just the Yontov for those few individuals who were unfortunately unable to bring a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach? Nevertheless, the Halacha is, and this is the Chol Alma, a Maspidim with Pesach Sheni, that one does not make a hesped on the Pesach Sheni. If there is a Levaya, then it goes without any hespedim. And Ein Misanin the Pesach Sheni, and one's not supposed to fast on Pesach Sheni either. So if you're not fasting, what are you eating? So he brings down Minag Yisrael Lechol Matzah B'Yudalad B'Iyah, that there's a Minag Yisrael to eat Matzah on Yudalad B'Iyah. Agav, somebody once was married to me, that matzah means matzah which has got a dinner matzah. A lot of the matzahs that we get out of the box, which we eat the whole year round, the chometz, right? They're a Suffolk matzah. They're baked without any breaks in between the batches. There could be bits of matzah left behind in the machines which go into the next one. All the chumras that we have on the Pesach matzahs of clearing everything completely between every batch so that there's never 18 minutes that any bit of chometz could rise. All this doesn't apply a whole year round, in which case the majority probably of machine matzahs which are not with a hechsher for Pesach, which people buy whole year round, those are probably chometz, which means that actually, hypothetically, you could eat them on Erev Pesach. Right? Up till the Zman Issa chometz, you could eat. We've got an Issa to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, because it's like a boil arusasa beves chomov. It's like you have to wait for the mitzvah. You've got the mitzvah eating matzah tonight, and therefore some people already stopped from Purim, some people already stopped from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but min adin, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Somebody was Moira, you're not allowed to eat matzah, which is matzah kashera on Erev Pesach. But matzah which is chometz on Erev Pesach, even though it looks like matzah, feels like matzah, tastes like matzah, and maybe it's not an Indian to eat it because you'll spoil your appetite for the night, or the mi'ikah din, because it's not matzah. So the shaila is, well, if those people who are going to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni, Zeicher, to the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, if they're going to eat matzah, it should be matzah which is kosher on Pesach, rather than chometz tikka matzah. Or you could say that on Pesach Sheni, the people were allowed to have matzah. Right? When they brought Pesach Sheni, there was no Issa Chometz. They didn't have to do B'dikas Chometz the night before, and there was no Issa Chometz, and therefore maybe Chometz Dika Matzah will also do. Okay, we'll discuss B'leida tomorrow further about who does eat Matzah, who's got the minhag to eat Matzah, who doesn't, whether it's on the Yud Dalet or Tesvov, and whether or not you should eat Morah with it.
Started at Turnaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Yud Beis Adar, 29th of April. Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, Shlita of Kol Netzach Yisrael, revealing the true identity. This six Torah has been sponsored anonymously. The Nishmas Aras team founder of Yosef Doe Ben of Shem Rachol Tzvi Itzkevit Tzichro No Livrocho.
Morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank again the organizers, Rabbi Josh, for giving me the opportunity to join you here this morning and to be part of this wonderful start today, the Torah Way. Hashem Shaddai should be able to continue doing this for many, many more years and be able to be part of such a merry gezeich. And this week's parsha is a parsha of all the Moyadim. And of course, I've got a very big selection that we could choose from. But I think the easiest candidate will be Sfira Soime, which is where we're up to now. Which just happens to be this week's parsha. The Psukim, Sfartem, Lochem, Ninocher, Rosh HaShabbos, That's the mitzvah of Sfiras Oimen. So I'd like to elaborate perhaps on this mitzvah of Sfiras Oimen. What is the essence of this mitzvah? How does that apply to us in a practical way? So, as usual, I'll start off with a couple of questions and then we'll go delve deeply into it. Today may perhaps be slightly more deep, but I'll try to bring it down in somewhat more of a practical, simple terms. So, start with a couple of questions. We find that this mitzvah, Sfiras Oimen, is somehow a stepping stone towards Kabbalah Satoire, which we find always before Shavuos. These are the 49 days that we count up until Kabbalah Satoire. So this seems to be that there is some connection, that this sphere seems to be the hachune, the preparation for Kabbalah Satoire. And the question is, what is the connection between Sfira Su'oime and Kabbalah Satoire? Now, we find, although in the simple translation of the mitzvah is a Sfartum Lechem Sheva Shabbos Tamimus, which means you should count the days. Simple terms mean that you should count the days. But we find that there seems to be another element to it, which is to count yourself. The Sfurim say, Esfartem Lochem. The Torah says the word Lochem means you should count yourself. Somehow there's an inner to count yourself. And it seems to be two parts of this mitzvah which work at the same time. There's one part of it which is counting the days. At the same time, Esfartem Lochem, to count yourself. In fact, we find that the Sfurim say that the Rishitaivus of the word Lochem is Kedai Letaharaini Meklipesaini Imetemesaini, which we say in the Yerutzen, for those who say it after the Sfiras Oimen, there's a Yerutzen that you say, that the purpose of counting the days is Kedai Letaharaini, to purify us, Meklipesaini, it's our outer external, and from our tumah, from our impurities, from our contamination. So we see clearly from here that there is some element of the sphere, that sphere is meant to be metaras, the sphere is meant to purify us. And in fact, some people have the minig that they say every single day. There's another one of the middas that collaborate with that day. So it's chesed shebechesed, gvira shebechesed, every single day has its avoide. And some people have the minig to say that in the Yerutzen. And somehow, that seems to show that the purpose of this is not just simply to count the days, but actually to count ourselves, somehow to do something to ourselves. So the question is, how exactly do we purify ourselves? In a simple, I asked someone this question, how do you purify yourself? He says, go to the shower, take a shower. I said, don't think that will actually do the job, because obviously we're referring now to a spiritual sense, and simply by taking a shower we'll not get rid of all the klippas and timas that we have in our bodies. The question is, how do we do this in a practical way? There's a famous Chazal say, Gemara, Sheva Shabusois Temimus Tienu, have to count 7 weeks, and they have to be Temimus, whole, they have to be intact. Temimois, says the Chazal, Aymusahem Temimois. When are these days intact? When are they Temimois? Bizman She'oisim Ritzoyne Shemukim. The simple meaning is, if we do mitzvahs and mass and tovim the way we're meant to be, then our days are full, our days are intact. If, unfortunately, we don't do mitzvahs, we don't do Ritzoyne Shemukim, then they're not going to be intact. That's the simple meaning. Perhaps we're going to give a slightly deeper meaning in the words of Chazal. Another interesting thing to note is that we find the mitzvah Sfira Sa'oime is surrounded in the times of the Beis HaMikdash by a korban mincha in the beginning and a korban mincha at the end. We start off with the minchas Sfarat Lechem Yom HaViyachem Es Oimer Atenifu. You had to bring barley, a barley offering, which is put onto the Mizbeach. And from that day, that was the day you started to count. And then you finished off Bekraftem Mincha Chadushu, which is the Shtai Lechem, the two breads that you brought on Shavuos. That was also offering to the Mizbeach. The question is, first of all, what's the connection? Why does this Sfiras Oimen have to come surrounded by a Korban Mincha from the beginning and the end? And number two, Korban Mincha is not your regular mainstream Korban. Most Korbanos that people brought, most offerings on the Mizbeach were animals, were behemoths. To bring a Mincha was not your usual common Korban that you brought. In fact, we almost don't find any Korban Tzibbeh a korban mincha, that should be a korban tzibur, that the tzibur should bring a mincha. I don't think we find any other ones other than these. So that just tells us that there is some connection between the mincha and the sfida saiva. So those are the questions we're going to start, and now we're going to try and delve into this subject. There's a line from the Heilige Baal HaTanya in Perek Lamazayim, and he says as follows. He says, Ze kol ha'odom. I will now reveal to you the tachlis of creation of the person, what is the purpose of his creation, and what is the purpose of Yeridus le'olam hazeh, of the person coming down to this world. Zog de Baal HaTanya, the purpose of creation is Liyas loy dire betachtoinim dafke. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted to have a dwelling place betachtoinim dafke, which simply, in simple terms, means in the olam hazeh, in our world, in our physical world. He adds the words lehishapche hashoichel nehoire, which is to change the darkness to lightness. V'yemulai kvoid Hashem es kol huuretz hagashmis, and the kvoid Hashem and the kovod of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the glory of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, should fill up the entire universe, and dafke the uretz hagashmis, our physical universe. This is the purpose of creation. Liyas loy dire betachtoinu. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam should have a dwelling place betachtoinu. There is a slightly deeper meaning to the word tachtoinim. Simply, tachtoinim means our physical world. But it's more than that. We know that the entire creation is called oilam. What does oilam mean? Oilam means it's helem, it's hidden. What do you mean the world is hidden? What's hidden? The answer is the Ribbono Shel Olam is hidden. There is a creator, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world, and he runs the entire universe. And everything that happens in the world is done by him, and only by him. And he's mechadash b'tira b'cholim tumet, every single second he renews the creation. But at the same time, he is hidden. No one knows that he exists. Most people in the world don't know that he exists. Most of the goyim don't know that he exists. And unfortunately, many of the Eden do not know that he exists. But there are the select few that do know that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists. Our purpose is to reveal the true identity of this world. To reveal to the world what is the true identity of the world. Who is behind this world? The Ribbono Shel Olam. That is our purpose. Liyas Lodir Batachtoinim is that simply by noticing and by acknowledging that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the one behind the entire universe. By doing that, you will now, you mefasim, you glorify the Shem's name in the world. And that by doing that, you now were made a dwelling place, so to speak, for the Ribbono Shel Olam b'tachtoinim in this physical world. That is the purpose of the creation. They bring down one of the tzaddikim, I can't remember which one it was, I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it. That he was, one of his little grandchildren were playing a game, and they were playing hide and seek. And you know the way you play hide and seek, everyone goes to hide, and then the person who's it, he has to, stands by the wall, and then when it's it, he has to go around and try and find everyone, and then the next person gets a turn. That's a game I used to remember in the olden days, used to play it. I don't know if it's still common. I think nowadays it's gone more sophisticated now. But in the olden days, that was the game that we used to play hide and seek. So these kids were playing hide and seek. One of the children went to hide in the closet in some cupboard of some sort. And the person who was it came around looking for everyone, and he found everyone. But he completely forgot that this boy existed. So he never came to look for him. So this person, this little boy, sitting in the cupboard waiting for someone to come look for him. And no one is coming to look for him. After a while, he came back into the room, and he's crying. And his grandfather asks him, "Little boy, why are you crying?" He says, "Why am I crying? What do you mean? Because no one came to look for me. That's why I was crying." So the tzaddik said, "Wow, you have the Ribbono Shel Olam. For so many thousands of years, he created the world, and no one is coming to look for him. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is crying. Says, when are people going to start looking for me?" He says, "The purpose of creation is that we should look for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's hiding behind the disguise, and is waiting for us to come look for him, to reveal him, because he is the true identity behind this world." Let's take this one step deeper. There's a famous Yisoid that the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef, brings down in the name of the Bashem Tov. For below the Bashem Tov, he was the founder of Chassidus. He hardly wrote down his learnings, his teachings. His main scriber, who scribed most of his Torah, was his disciple, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef HaKoyim from Pilnui. He was his main scribe who wrote down his Torah. And almost all the Torah we have nowadays, the teachings from the Shem Tov, comes from his writings. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef says as follows. He says, he brings down a parable of Mushul. He says, there was once a king. The king wanted to try and test his people to see if they were faithful, if they were loyal to him. So he sent one of his main people, one of his big people, to come, to go around. He should disguise himself, he should dress up as if he is an opposing king who is against the king of this country, and should try and make a coup against the king and try to make an uprising against the king and try and get people and see what people's reaction is going to be. So he comes there dressed up as if he is a separate person, no one knows his true identity, and he says, why don't we make an uprising against, a revolution against the king? We'll overthrow the king, the throne, I'll become your new king. He says that some foolish people, who they fell for it. He says he finally came to a country, and the people in that country were very, very bright and clever people. And they thought to themselves, something is missing here, something does not make sense. Our king is a powerful king, he has police all over the place, he has soldiers all over the place. Something is wrong. You have a person walking around, trying to make a revolution, trying to make an uprising against the king, and no one is stopping him. Now let's imagine for a moment, if in Russia or in North Korea, you'd have someone going around, let's make an uprising against Putin, let's make an uprising against Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, and he continues doing it, no one stops him, and just people let him. It'll be very clear that something is fishy, because Putin will not stand for it. We know what happened to this, whatever the name of this fellow who tried to make an uprising against him. He fell off an accident in his airplane. Yeah, we know what happened. That accident, his airplane, by mistake, crashed. Yeah, all these countries, people try to make an uprising. They all of a sudden commit suicide and all of a sudden fall out of windows. So we know what happens in these places. How could it be that there's a king walking around and he's making an uprising and no one is stopping him? So they thought to themselves, it must be this is a test. It must be this person is just in disguise. And he is a messenger from the king trying to test our loyalty to see how loyal we are. They went up to this person and said, we know that you are working for the king. You are dressed up. You are not a separate thing. You are the messenger from the king. And by doing that, in fact, he admitted that he is a messenger from the king. And he took off his disguise. And he showed his true identity, that he is a messenger from the king. Look, they told us Yaakov Yosef. The exact same thing applies in our lives. We have something called the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination that comes to us and tells us, do this, do that, try and sin, do this sin, do that sin against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Something is fishy. Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, and he's allowing the evil inclination, he's allowing the Yetzer Hara to go around and try and get people to make an uprising against him. Something is wrong here. That must be that he is a messenger from the king, and the king is just trying to test our loyalty. So all you have to do is, if they told us Yaakov Yosef, go over to him, to the Yetzer Hara, and tell him in his face, we know your true identity. You are not a separate being, you are a messenger from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And simply by saying that, then he will have to take off his disguise and have to reveal that he in fact is a messenger from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and by doing that, we are Megalik Kved Shemayim. We have revealed, we have glorified Hashem's name, B'tachtoinim. That is a new meaning, a deeper meaning in the word B'tachtoinim, because there's nothing lower than sin. Sin is the lowest thing you can get. And even this Yetzer Hara is trying to get us to sin, is also the messenger from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So by acknowledging that he is not a separate identity or an enemy out to get us, but in fact he is a messenger from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind him, by doing that we are actually revealing Hashem's name, B'tachtoinim, in the very, very low places. Says the Talmud, Yaakov Yosef, the name of the Hashem Tov. The same thing also applies to physical challenges that people go through. People go through many, many different challenges in different areas, whether it's panusa, whether it's health, whether it's from the nachas or the children, whatever it could be, different various challenges. We have to understand that these challenges are not out against us. They are not separate things which have the ability to do damage to us. These are messengers from the Ribbono Shel Olam who are just trying to test our loyalty, to see how loyal we are, to see if we'll be able to continue serving the Ribbono Shel Olam despite all the challenges that we are going through. And simply by going over to this challenge and telling him in his face, we know your true identity, then what happens is he has to reveal his true identity. Zukta Moiri de Gedak Kibalti Moiri says, I was Mekava for my Rebbe the Boshem Tov. A skille, Buddha Kemenis. People are now looking for skulas, people are looking for ways to try and save themselves. Shebechal Tsar, he says, every single challenge that a person goes through, Begashmi, Rochni, whether it's spiritual or physical, Im Noisenevi, if he's going to give mind to the fact that this tzar is sent by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and it's just in disguise Derech Levish. V'kasher noyed aloy, as soon as the person acknowledges that and notices that, says Ahavtocha from the Rebal Shem HaKodesh, his tzar Levish, he will have to take off his disguise, he will have to take off his makeup, his dress. When his battle had saved the whole Gazai Nisruas, and it would disappear, the challenge will disappear, because the whole purpose of the challenge was just to test us, to see if we'll notice who is standing behind that. And simply by noticing who is standing behind that, with that he has to reveal himself, and that is the way to create a dwelling place for the Rebbeinu Shalom. He says in the Pusik, we say in Tehillim, Kihinai Oyvechu Hashem, Kihinai Oyvechu Hashem. We talk to the Rebbeinu Shalom that you have your enemies. So he says, Kihinai Oyvechu Hashem, Hashem Avai, that's Hashem's name. If I notice that Oyvechu, people who seem to be our enemies, people who seem to be the enemies of the Rebbeinu Shalom, they're really Hashem. Kihinai Oyvechu, who are they? What's the true identity? Hashem, Shem Avai. Is then, Kihinai Oyvechu is Yavaydi. Then all your enemies will fall away, is body called prayer on the oven. All the evildoers will all completely disappear, because they're not out to get us. It can come to good use, this thing. Whenever a person goes through a challenge, remember this good day. Always notice whether you're standing in court against an enemy, whatever your challenge you're going through, whether it's even a health challenge. Notice there's no such thing as a health challenge, no such thing as a machle. Machle is not a separate identity. A machle is someone, it's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the messenger in disguise, trying to test us to see our loyalty, and simply by noticing that, says the Bashem Tov, he will reveal himself, and all these tzar will fall away. There's a story to bring down. There was a chusid who came into his Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, I have problems of becoming in chaos. I get angry very quickly. I have to try and find a way to work on my anger. So the Rebbe told the chusid, why don't you sit in the waiting room? I'll call you in soon. In the meantime, the next person came in to talk to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe made sure to leave the door open. And he left the door open, and he said quite loudly to this second chusid, that he made sure the first one should hear what he's saying. He says, I want you to try and test his anger, the fellow sitting in the waiting room. Try and get him to become angry. I just want to test his anger. And of course, the fellow sitting in the waiting room heard what the Rebbe had to say. So this fellow comes into the waiting room, he sits down next to him, and he of course makes sure to tip his coffee all over him, and then opens the window, closes the window, the air conditioning up, air conditioning down, the chair up and down. And guess what? This person, he kept his cool as a cucumber, nothing. So finally the Rebbe calls him in and he says, I'm very surprised. You told me that you're suffering from anger. Something's not in it. I tried to get you to become angry and it didn't work. You stayed, he says, oh, listen, I'm not a fool. I heard what the Rebbe said. I knew that, understood the whole thing was just trying to get me out. So, you know, So the Rebbe said, you're not suffering from anger. That's not your problem. Your problem is not anger. Your problem is that you don't believe that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is always just simply trying to get you to become angry. It's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is testing your anger to see the same way I tested you. It's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is testing you. So all you have to do is to work on acknowledging that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is behind everything, and then automatically your anger will fall away, because your anger is just because you don't understand that it's all coming from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, coming from Hashem. This is one element that is a way that we could get the Dira B'Tachtoin, but there is a deeper part of this also, which is on a very personal level. People often look at themselves and they view themselves in a very negative light, especially if they've done things which are not appropriate for them. Then they view themselves as balavari, the bad people. They're not good people. And that is a big mistake, because we know we all are a part of the divine. Our true and real essence is a part of the divine. The chaylika lekam imal, a part of the divine. That's for every single one of us. That's our true essence. Everything else is just an external shell. That's not our true identity. That's not our true being. The Baal HaTanya says that the person standing by davening in the middle of Shemini Esrei, he gets all these thoughts that very often come specifically when he's in the middle of Shemini Esrei. That's when they come into his mind, and some of them may not be the most purest of thoughts. Says the Baal HaTanya, the way he has to view it is not that there's something wrong with me, but he has to view it as if there is an outsider, there is a goy. If you would be standing and davening in shul, and then all of a sudden you hear a commotion, and this goy comes running into shul and tries to distract you and starts making noise and banging on the table, banging on the windows and throwing things down, you won't blame yourself. you won't feel guilty, because you'll understand that it's an external person standing on the outside who's trying to distract me. That's all it is. Says the Balatani, the exact same thing is when you're davening Shmoneh Esrei, these thoughts are coming to you, that it's not you. That's an external thing which is standing from the outside and trying to disturb you, trying to distract you. Your true identity is the Chaylik HaLekam Imal, your divine part of the Rebbein Shlom, that's your thing. When a person views himself, instead of looking at his external outer being, outer crust, he in fact looks at his true identity and acknowledges and notices that my true identity is a Chaylik HaLekam Imal. By doing that, you're revealing the Ribbono Shel Olam on yourself. So the same way you could reveal the Ribbono Shel Olam on the Bria, on the universe, you could also reveal the Ribbono Shel Olam on yourself. And that is another way that you could bring down Dire B'Tachtoinim, a dwelling place for the Ribbono Shel Olam, even in the lowly places, even if you feel yourself like you're very lowly. But by revealing my true identity, like the B'Shem Tov says, that all you have to do is, you have to walk to the challenge and face him and tell him in his face, we know your true identity, and by doing that, it will disappear. The same thing regarding yourself, whenever you feel like you're very lowly, you're very not good, just tell yourself in the face, I know your true identity. Your true identity is you're a Chaylik HaLekam Imal, and by doing that, you are now revealing the Kvod Hashem and the Ribbono Shel Olam, the dwelling place, B'Tachtoinu. Perhaps you could say, the Lashon Chazal is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu Mis'ave Lias Lobit Dira B'Tachtoinu, which means Ribbono Shel Olam craves to have a dwelling place, B'Tachtoinu. Every single time a person does that and he reveals a true identity, he is now Oisim Retzoinoi Shalmukim. He has now made the roots. What's the roots of Hashem? What's Hashem's want? What's his craving? Dira B'Tachtoinim. So every single time we do that, we have now Oisim Retzoinoi Shalmukim. A person goes through the Yemaya Sphere. He has to count the days. He has to count the days, and the days have to be complete. People who go through days with their various different challenges, it's very difficult to say that these days are complete. Because what do you mean? How could you say it's complete? I had this challenge, I had that challenge. When a person understands that all these challenges were just tests from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then these days are complete. There's nothing missing in them. There's no blemishes. It's all simply the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to test you. So Aymusai, says the Gemara, Aymusai Haim Tamimus, when am I able to count 7 weeks which should be complete? Bizman Sha'oisim Ritzoinu Shamukum, when we do Ritzoinu Shamukum, which means when we create a Dira B'Tachtoinu, we acknowledge that all these challenges are all Ritzoinu Shamukum, then we have 7 complete days because there's nothing missing in these days. And the same thing on a personal level. We said before that Tzvi Ritzoinu also has this personal part of it, the Sfartum Lechem, that we should count ourselves. How could a person view himself as if he is Tamimoist, he is complete, there's no blemishes, there's nothing missing? It's only Bizman Sha'oisim Ritzoinu Shamukim, it's when he understands that all his external things are just external, they're just external barriers, they're just a shell, they're just a peel, they're just the outside, they're not his true essence. Then he is able to view himself that he is Tamimoist, that he is complete, that he's intact, there's nothing missing, and he's completely pure. And it's beautiful to see the Rushan that we say in the Yerutzin, Kedai Metaharaini Miklipoi Saini. We should purify ourselves from our clipper, from our crust. What does that mean? This is because it's all about getting rid of the crust and revealing the true identity, our true essence, our true Pnimius. That's what it's all about. And in fact, with that, we could perhaps explain why the Korban Minche. What's Korban Minche? We bring something which is barley or wheat, which is surrounded when it grows from the ground, it's surrounded by peels, by many, many layers of peels. And what we do is we take off all the peels, another layer, until we get to the pnimius, we get to the inside, to the wheat or to the barley. And the Gemara says it has to go through sivit again and again and again. And finally, we take the most inner, purest part of it, and we bring that as an offering on the Mizbaich. That's what the Inyan of Omer is, and that's what Sfira is all about. Sfira is all about getting rid of the clippers of the external things and creating and finding our true and real identity. And with that, it's simple why this is Achuna for Kabbalah Satoira. Before we're able to bring down the Torah on this world, we have to first create a dwelling place for the Ribbono Shel Olam on this world, and that is how we're able to be Mekabel the Torah. Finish off with a story. I haven't verified the story. Rav Meilich Biderman brings it down many, many times. Well, I assume if he brings it down, he must have seen it somewhere or heard it from a call. So the story goes as follows. There was an officer in the IDF, a high-ranking the Mossad, and it's a true high-ranking officer, and he was promoted to become one of the chiefs. And obviously, they revealed to him many of the secrets, of the very inner secrets that only they know and other people don't know. So these people are usually considered high-profile people. And of course, there's security measures around them are quite strong, because you know these people get into the wrong hands. So this officer, just after he was appointed as the chief of the Mossad, wherever it was, he was at some point, I don't exactly put him exactly the details of the story, he was driving in his car, and for some reason he had no security at the time, and then another car overtook him, and a group of masked people came out, and they abducted him, they kidnapped him, they put him into his, they blindfolded him, they stuffed his mouth, and they took him into a secret place. And he was taken by the, I think it was the Hamas, I'm not sure whether it was the Hamas or Hezbollah, one of the two, and he was taken into the deep tunnels, underground tunnels, and they said, that's it, we know that you are a very high-ranking officer, and you're aware that you're exposed to many of the big secrets, and you want all of that. So of course he said, I'm not going to reveal the secrets, I'm not going to give it out. So they started interrogating him, then they started interrogating him, and they started beating him up, and He didn't say a single word. And this went on again and again, and they said, listen here, we'll give you one more chance. The next time we're going to go out the room, we're going to come back in an hour. We're going to come back with a big hammer, a metal hammer, and we're going to put it over your head. If you're going to give us out the secrets, fine. If not, this is going to come right down, split your head in half, and that'll be the end of you. And they went and walked out the room, and he didn't know what to do. It was a type of interrogation. He wasn't prepared for that. And he's thinking to himself, should reveal, shouldn't reveal. And as he's lying there, deep down, and not knowing what to do, how to proceed further, he can hear these kidnappers, these Arab kidnappers standing in the other room, and he hears them talking to each other, and something didn't sound, he knew Arabic, he understood Arabic, but they were not talking Arabic. He heard they were talking Hebrew, talking Ivrit, and that's very interesting. Arab terrorists usually between themselves do not talk Hebrew, don't talk Ivrit, they talk Arabic usually. So then he finally thinks that this whole thing is just a disguise. The whole thing, these are the people from the Mossad. We're trying to test his loyalty. They're trying to see whether he's loyal. So they pretended as if they're Hamas or Hezbollah, whatever it is. And they pretended as if they took him into a Hamas tunnel, a Hezbollah tunnel. And by mistake, they gave away the secret, because by talking Hebrew, the fact that he understood the true identity. So next time they came into his room, and they said, with a big hammer, and they said, all the secrets now. So he looks at them in the face and says, I'm not revealing any secrets. No secrets at all. And they started thinking, and they're threatening him, and they bring it down. I'm not revealing anything. Finally, they saw that he kept it wrong. They took off the mask, the identity. And he knew the names of all those people, who knew exactly who they were his buddies, his friends from the Mossad, and the whole thing was just a whole thing of disguise. Says Ramalek Biderman, he says, this, the same thing applies to us. There's so many times that we feel that we're kidnapped by different challenges, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, different things which kidnap us and take us away. All we have to do is notice the true identity. It's all a makeup, it's all just one big disguise, that's all it is. And by noticing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is behind all of that, and the whole thing is only the Ribbono Shel Olam, by doing that, we are now revealing Kvod Hashem, the glory of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we have now created a dwelling place for the Ribbono Shel Olam, B'tachtonim, and this is our avoid, and the Ribbono Shel Olam should help, we should all be zoicha, to be megalek Kvod Shemayim, to glorify Hashem's name, and to be mekabel the Torah, b'kur Rebbe Yemayni, b'mehay Rebbe Yemayni, Amen.
Thank you.
husband. There's some difference between the family and the son. I'm not sure. It's a good question. In a way, the mental health is even worse.